So let's thank the Lord and bless him for bringing him us back today.
Father,
we bless you.
Thank you for,
bringing us.
Thank you for your.
Let's thank him for all he has taught us.
Thank you for the past
and what he's going to teach us today.
Thank you for the blessings.
Father, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bless
you,
Lord.
Are going to receive today.
Give us the opportunity,
Lord, teach us by
to learn at your feet.
We give us divine intelligence.
We give you praise, Lord.
Open our heart.
Open our heart to God to understand, to receive.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Father, we thank you. Bless
you, Lord.
We're here today to receive from you.
Yes,
to sit at your feet like Mary did. And you said she chose the better part. As we have chosen the better part, Lord, teach us.
Amen.
Let us learn from you.
Amen.
All that we need to know to do the work you ask us to do as ministers of God.
Yes, Lord.
And to succeed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Teach us, O God, how to wreck the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
And expand your kingdom.
Amen.
So that we people will be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
The people that are ready and repented,
yes,
just like the time of John the Baptist. Blessed be your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise and glory.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today we're going into exposing and defeating the satanic strongmen of darkness, part three. The third strong man of darkness. So the third strong man. That's according to my notes. It doesn't mean that he's the third. But as we did, we started with the chief of the demons. That's the Antichrist. Then we went to Jezebel. We went to Jezebel. And then we're going to Dagon. Amen.
Amen.
So the third one is Dagon. D-A-G-O-N. It's called Dagon, Leviathan, the dragon. It's called the dragon when it combines with the Antichrist. We're going to look at all that. And this is the kingdom of, is the head of the marine spirits. He's in charge of marine spirits. Water spirits, marine, rivers, that's the way they live. Amen.
Amen.
And therefore their activity is seen more in riverine areas, especially along the coast. Now, who is Leviathan? The dragon. It's a massive snake-like strongman. Massive snake-like strongman. And it's spoken of in numerous places in scripture. Now, Job 41:1. I will read Psalm 74. God was talking to Job at the end of the day. So many things have happened to Job. And if you read the book of Job, that is the only strong man who was mentioned in the book of Job. And I believe that God was telling Job that this is the person responsible for your problems. I'm not responsible. Because God started defending himself. Talking to Job. You are accusing me. Your friends are accusing me. And then he began to talk. He began to tell about himself. That is God. How great he is. All the good things that he has done. And telling Job, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? But in Job 41, he now stopped talking about himself and started talking about an animal, about a beast, about a strong man. And he began to ask rhetoric questions. You know, questions that, of course, The answer will be yes or no.
Yes.
You already know the answer. So, verse 1, what did God say? God is asking Job a question.
Canst thou draw out Leviathan's with an
hook,
mm-hmm. or his stones with a cord,
mm-hmm.
which thou lettest down?
Okay, he said, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Hmm? Can you draw him out with a hook? Or put a cord in his tongue, which you let down? Can you? Of course, the answer that Job will say is no. And when we begin to read about Leviathan, we will discover that actually one of the weapons against him is the hook. So God is letting out a secret there. And it's the hook of the Lord. You see? It's the hook of the Lord. Okay. So, you open Psalm 104. I will read Psalm 74:14. He said, thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces and givest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. So, heads of Leviathan. So, he can have more than one head, as we're going to see in his combination with when he becomes the dragon. He has many heads because he's a leadership spirit. He's a king in his own domain. And so he has many heads because he wears many crowns. Can you imagine? Psalm 104:26. What does it say? 26.
There go the sheaves.
Mm-hmm.
There is that Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
Who thou has made to play
therein. Okay, so God, so the Bible is telling us one thing now.
Psalm
104:26, verse 26. So God is telling us one thing, that God is the one that made Leviathan. You see? But he gave him a domain. He gave him a place. And he gave him something to do. He said, go and play in the deeps, in the place where ships pass. Go and play. He didn't say he should attack us. So really, when we talk about these beasts, we're not talking about living things. We're talking about the spirit that takes control of them. The spirit that takes control of them. Isaiah 27:1 also talks about Leviathan. Isaiah 27:1.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
God is talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the one that created him.
Mm.
He gave him a domain.
Mm.
Why did he give him a domain?
Why did God give everything, every living thing, his own domain? God gave every living thing its own domain. Uh-huh. So he doesn't... So those things... What we're trying to say is that God gave them their own domain. It is when the devil takes hold of them that they now leave their domain and what God told them to be doing and now begin to attack man.
Yes.
You see, this is it. So God made Leviathan. This is what this scripture is telling us.
Yes.
God made him and gave him to live in the depths of the sea and to play there. You see, he said play there. Didn't say you should be troubling the ships. You should be troubling. There are some places that ships cannot pass because there is a Leviathan there. It will call itself around the ship and drag it down. And they will never see that ship again. There's a place called Bermuda Triangle. Somewhere between America and the islands. Any ship that passes there. In a particular place, maybe at particular times, I don't know. They will just disappear. That is the work of Leviathan. Even an airplane, if it passes, you know, at a particular time, it will go and pull it down under the waters. That is Leviathan. God didn't send him to do that. God sent him to play in his own domain. He gave him food that he will eat there. So why are you bothering the ships? Look at it. They said, there go the ships. So the ships are going. Leviathan is playing. That is what God expects. But once the devil enters them, you know, once it was, when Lucifer was cast into the earth and he became Satan, he entered the waters and began to affect, you know, the animals, to begin to do his bidding. So Isaiah 27:1, another place the Bible talks about, just for an introduction. He said, in that day, the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. You can see here that they call him serpent, Leviathan, and also dragon. And God has, this is the second weapon against Leviathan. That is the great sword. A great sword, strong sword of the Lord. The other thing he does is that he throws him in the wilderness to be eaten. We cut him into pieces, give him in the wilderness to be eaten by birds of the air and beasts of the field. We're still going to come to that. So even though the devil makes use of the dragon, of Leviathan, God can control him. He has weapons against him. And we saw that right from the start.
Yes.
Now, it's a vicious and terrible strong man of destruction. Terrible, vicious, strong, and it's a destroyer. And it is used by the devil to do most of the terrible works of affliction when he needs to do damage over a widespread area. I'll repeat it, don't worry. When he wants to do damage over a widespread area, that's what the devil will use. He will use Leviathan. So he is used by the devil to do his most terrible works of affliction and destruction. Whenever he needs to do damage over a widespread area, affecting numerous lives and families. For instance, he's in charge of riots, wars, plane crashes, boat mishaps. So that war in Ukraine, what I pray is, I pray against Leviathan. God should, that dragon, God should, you know, he's bloodthirsty, he likes wars, he likes, you know, anything that many people will die at the same time. In so many places, he will just use his tail to gather support from many satanic agents and from other strong men. His tail. And this is what they told us in Revelation 12. We can see an example of that in Revelation 12. Although it's a prophetic picture, but it tells you what Leviathan does, how he uses his tail. Revelation 12:3-4. So a woman was trying to give birth. Yes.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven.
Yes.
And he hold a great...
Behold.
And behold, a great red dragon,
mm-hmm.
having 7 heads and 10 horns.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 crowns upon his heads.
Mm-hmm. I told you he has many heads so that he can carry many crowns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And his...
Yes, and his tail.
And his tail drew the 3rd part of the star of heaven.
Stars of heaven.
And did cast them to the earth.
To the earth. Mm-hmm.
And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
For to devour her... child as soon as it was born.
Okay. Now the dragon knew at this time that he was facing not an ordinary child, but Jesus himself, mm-hmm. the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm.
So he himself was not only, he felt that he was not enough to even deal with him. He has to cast down with his tail many stars of heaven. Now, they're not talking, when they talk about stars of heaven in prophetic language, they're talking about angels. And once they fall to the earth like that, they become fallen angels. Yes. So he cast out so many demons to go and help him. Now, Leviathan was singularly deployed by Satan to bring down all that Job possessed in one day. In one day, a great man. Everything he had, he brought it down in one day. He used the dragon. And that is why towards the end of the book, that is the culprit that God pointed to. He said, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? And asked so many questions about Leviathan. Now, if we look at Job 1, 12 to 19. Job 1, 12 to 19. I'm just going to read it. No, it's too long. But I'll quickly read it. And the Lord said unto Satan, you know, angels were standing. This was God in his court, and angels were before him, and Satan was among them. And God saw him and said, what are you doing here? He said, I've been going forth. I'm going, where are you coming from? Going to and fro throughout the house. Okay. God said, you're to and fro. Did you see my servant Job? He said, yes. He only loves you because of everything that you have given to him and because you surround him, you know, and you keep him safe. So the Lord said, so he said, give me the power and I'll deal with him. God said, so this is where we are now, from 12. He said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord to go and wrought vengeance against this poor man who did not even know that God has been boasting about him. So sometimes when you see a righteous man having problems, this may be one of the things that is happening. God made a boast of him. And Satan said, let me test him now. So we must be very, very careful never to lose faith in God. So what happened? Verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses. So one particular day, the children were having a party. What did Satan do? A messenger came to tell Job, oxen were plowing and asses were feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. And they have slain all the servants with the sword. Only I am escaped to come and tell thee. And you'll see that this is what happened. In every case, there'll be one person who will go and tell Job. 16, so that they can know that it was a deliberate act. It didn't just happen. It's not an act of God. It's an act of him, Satan. While he was yet speaking, there came another, said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burnt up all the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another that said, the Chaldeans came out of their, the Chaldeans made out of three bands. They fell upon the camels and carried them away and slain all the servants with the edge of sword. I'm the only one left to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another that said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking. Behold, you remember that he waited until a day that all his children were in one place. They were eating and drinking in their elder brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the children, and they all dead. And only I alone escaped to come and tell thee. We can see that the dragon made use of the Sabaeans on land, fire of God who came from heaven, so, and a great wind from the wilderness. So, the dragon can fly. He can spit fire. He can vomit water. And he can do all manner of evil. He operates in the air, on land, and in the waters. So at the end of so he didn't make sure he didn't make use of Jezebel or Baal. He made use of the dragon. The dragon is a combination of Baal and Leviathan. So at the end of his travels, God said, "Don't blame me, I'm righteous. I do only good things. Blame Leviathan." And that's the summary of God's lecture to Job when he showed up in his situation, as recorded in chapters 38 to 41. God pointed out the real culprit in chapter 41. But God gave him back everything he lost, because he never lost faith in God and in God's goodness. Amen.
Amen.
Is it in Job
38 to 41, chapters 38 to 41. God was speaking throughout all those places. Now, the dragon is a devourer of breakthroughs. He's called a devourer, and he likes to devour breakthroughs. And an example is what we have seen, that it was poised to devour the baby of the woman at the point of delivery. At the point, he didn't come when he was 2 months old. Although he does that too. If you see Revelations 12, yes. If you see a woman that is having repeated abortions, you see, especially at a particular time, it's Leviathan. It's the dragon. He just comes with his horn. There's a woman, you just see a cow. Just use the horn to hit her stomach and the baby will come down. Basically, it is represented by any beast you see in the dream that has horns. It's Leviathan. Now, other manifestations of the dragon. Other manifestation of the dragon. We see him in Daniel 7. Daniel 7. He's the fourth beast with the little horn in Daniel 7. 7, 8, then 19 and 22. I read. It's a long passage. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Can you see? And strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured, it broke in pieces, it stamped the rest with his feet, and was diverse from all the other beasts that went before it. That means it was different from the lion. You remember the lion, the leopard, the bear came before it. Yes. But it was different from any animal we've ever seen on this earth. And it had 10 horns. He said, when you talk about horn, that's where power is. So I considered the horns, and behold, there came among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the root. So another little horn came, plucked up three, and became strong. And behold, this horn were eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, this is a prophetic picture of different kingdoms that will rise up, all right? But it is also telling us about the dragon and other things that he does, that he has many horns. Now, verse 19. He has many horns, and one horn can come and uproot some, and they take hold of it, and then he'll be speaking great things. That is why we know that the Antichrist and merges with Leviathan to form the dragon, because the Antichrist that boasts is the spirit that boasts. All these strong men we've been talking about, they team up, they hardly work alone. You know, the devil is a coward in the end. He's a bully. A bully never works alone. He always has other people with him so that he can bully people. you know, weaker people. So 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, broke in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, that's the horn. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld until that same horn, that single one, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. So in this place, we have a picture of Leviathan and the Antichrist. And you can see that there are times when it's the Ancient of Days that has to come and rescue us. Because these are very, very powerful beasts indeed. Now, in another scripture, Leviathan was addressed as Pharaoh, the dragon that lies in the Nile. And it was to this beast that Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph, sacrificed the Jewish baby boys in the time of Moses. Remember, we've spoken about that when we were talking about the Antichrist.
Yes. We'll repeat this verse.
Okay. In another scripture, Leviathan was addressed as Pharaoh, the dragon that lies in the Nile. That's in Ezekiel 29. God spoke to him, to the dragon, as though it was Pharaoh. It was Pharaoh. Now, and it was to that beast that lies in the Nile that Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph, sacrificed the baby boys in the time of Moses. He was not just throwing them in the Nile. He said, go and throw the babies in the Nile. Maybe you can say, kill them and bury them. He said, no, throw them in the Nile. So this confirms that the dragon is a combination of Leviathan, the ordinary snake, and the Antichrist. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 29, 2 and 3. The Son of Man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. They speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which has said, my river is my own. I have made it for myself. In Exodus 1:22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, that is of the Israelites, ye shall cast into the river. And every daughter save alive. Why did this cast him into the river? Because there's a dragon there. That's his God, whom he used to go and worship every day. Remember, Moses followed him there one day. He went to meet him there and said, let my people go that they may serve me. And he was still saying, who are your people? So God told him, touch the Nile with the rod. And the whole Nile became blood and slew everything that was in it, including his Leviathan, I'm sure. And that's what began to break the back of Pharaoh, because that was one of his main gods. Amen. So Leviathan is so terrible. It has the ability to operate in the land, in the air, as I said, and in water bodies. It also has the ability to operate in the body, in the human body, because the human body is 75% water. So any debilitating disease that they say is incurable, of the blood. Is Leviathan in charge? Blood sugar, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer of the blood, and all manner of sicknesses of the blood are incurable. Leviathan is in charge. Now, it is a master destroyer. It's a master destroyer. And if it is in the life of an individual or in a family, it will wreck everything they have. It will wreck everything. It will wreck the work of their hands. It will wreck their marriage. It will destroy the lives of the children. And it follows men and women into ministry if they are not aware. And it will wreck their calling, wreck their ministry. And it will go on and on. And it will cast a veil of death on their face. You know, snakes shed their skin.
Yes.
That is the veil. It will put a veil of death over their face, that they will not even be aware that what is happening to them is abnormal. They will not be aware that, but what is happening to you, until they see somebody who can see clearly, what is happening to you is abnormal. Is it only you? Is it only you on this earth? Why? This happened to you, that happened to you. Before you recover from this one, that has happened. It will cast a veil of death. Because where it wants to take the victim to is to death.
Yes.
Is to death. In fact, in such a place, in such a case, you will see that the victim may even start blaming himself for his woes. Yeah. Because that's another thing that he does. That's another thing that the devil, the dragon, does. It is a slanderer. Remember they call him the accuser of the brethren?
Yes.
It will be telling the person, it's your fault. It's your fault. Why did you go and take this decision? Why did you take that decision? Why did you take this? It's your fault. See what you have done. If it's a couple, you'll be blaming the husband to the wife. It will blame the wife to the husband. They'll be accusing each other. To each other. You see? It's your fault. Until the person gets tired, he may even kill himself. And say, it's my fault, let me cuckoo die.
You see? And it can destroy marriages.
That's the first thing it wants to destroy. Because you see, if it corners only one person, it can succeed for a long time. But if it corners two people, at least one of them will open eye one day now. It doesn't want that. It will corner one person into a corner until he has squeezed him to death. It will lull the person into looking for all manner of excuses why his life is fragmenting, rather than admit that something is spiritually wrong and begin to seek solution urgently, spiritually. Revelation 12:10c is where he's called the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night. Revelation 12:10, the last part. He's called the accuser of our brethren. That means, of course, He torments Christians too. Aha. If he doesn't torment Christians, we wouldn't be talking about deliverance.
Yes.
Because it's only Christians that can be delivered.
Yes.
Can't deliver an unbeliever. All right. Now, Leviathan is so strong. It is so stubborn. And it is so persistent. We must know that from the start. And know that if you have a battle against Leviathan, you must be stronger, you must be more stubborn, and you must be more persistent. And God always has to personally intervene in the deliverance. Or he will send Michael, the warrior archangel, with the host, as he did in Leviathan 12. You know, in the time of Moses, in the time of the children of Israel in Egypt, God sent Moses. Eventually, God himself had to pass through. He said, I will pass through. He had to pass through Egypt. And that was the night that they were set free. In Job 41, with Job, God had to intervene. You see? In Job 41, he recounts the formidable strength and resilience of Leviathan. In Job 41, God clearly recounts the formidable strength and resilience of Leviathan. And he spoke them there that, you, Job, you can't handle it. Can you? You can't. You can't. But apparently God intervened for him. And that was where in 42, we're told that God set him free and he gave him back more than what he lost. Yes. So that's part of the prayers. When we're going to pray, must demand that everything is swallowed, you must vomit it. Leviathan. Aha. Also, yes, we're looking at another place where God intervened. In the book of Daniel 17. You see? That's 7, sorry. Where we were talking about, where we have read and read. It is said that it continued the persecution of the saints until the Ancient of Days came. Imagine, Baba himself had to come with thousands and thousands and thousands following him and tens of thousands. He made war with the saints, prevailed against him. We were also told in Psalm 74:14 that God himself breaks the head of Leviathan. 74:14 Psalm. He breaks the head of the... He has a particular cutlass. It's not the same as the sword of the Spirit. Saul, strong sword of the Lord, Jehovah. L-O-R-D in capitals. Is a particular cutlass that God uses to... I've seen it in the dream. Looks like those cutlass that those women that make cut fish. You know, it will be a cutlass, it will cut the head. It will be a short, and then it will be so sharp that one cut like this, they cut off the head of the fish. Or it's like a cleaver that women use in the kitchen. I've seen it before. But it's in the hand of God. Man cannot wield it. Even that Isaiah 27:1 that we saw, that we read. In that day, the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital, Yahweh, with his sword, great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon in the sea. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So God himself is the one that intervenes. Ezekiel 29:4-9. I will put my hooks in thy jaws. You see? I will put hooks in thy jaws. That's God saying. You see? Then he will leave him thrown in the wilderness and command the birds of the air and beasts of it to eat it. Then he said, verse 8, this is Ezekiel 29, he said, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee. It's not the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the rhema. this whole word that we're using, you know, against him is a rhema. That's a rhema, is a word that God will give you to bring you out of a particular situation. All right? Now, so this is the rhema. This whole, all these scriptures we're reading, they are rhemas against Leviathan. So it is a sword of the Spirit in his own situation, in itself. But a sword of the Spirit is like a dagger. All right? It's a dagger. But this one is a cleaver. It's a cutlass. It's a cutlass. God will bring it out of... He said, I will cut off man and beast out of his day. You see? And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste. So he will not only deal with Leviathan, he will deal with his kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we have said, God had to send the angel Michael. Revelation 12, 1 to 4. Well, Revelation 12, 7. Revelation 12, 7. That's when he sent. And there was war in heaven. It's a prophetic picture of when Satan fell from heaven, okay? But also, it tells us that there's a problem with a dragon and God had to send Michael to come and fight the war. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Can you hear? The devil and Satan. It is the most, it is Satan's favorite manifestation on earth. That is as the dragon. That's why God called him that old serpent. When he says that old serpent, that means the same one that was in the Garden of Eden and was looking so innocent as to deceive the woman. You see? He's also called, now called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Bless God.
Hallelujah.
So when we want to fight, anybody who wants to fight Leviathan, anyone who has Leviathan to fight must be a friend of God. Abi, this is what this means now.
Yes.
If not only God and Michael that can help you, you better be a friend of God.
That is it.
Because anybody that's a friend of God is the one that the angels would cooperate with, you see, and God will put in everything that he is and fight for that person. And that is why it takes a long time to fight Leviathan. Not because God's weapons cannot work like that, but because there is always a loophole. And the accuser will go, no, you can't fight for him. See what he's doing. See how he's dressing. No, it's mine. Then the angels, Michael's, his hand will, you know, then he will say, hey, he's the one deceiving the person. Ah, just like that, now, are you not looking for your husband? Meanwhile, he's the one driving the husbands away. Hey, you better try this, you better try this. Then God, when he's not praying, God help me, and God comes into it. No, sir, I have many things against her. Ah, no, you can't. You can't have his mind. She's mine. You see? And if he has nothing against that person, you go and dig into the foundation of that person and bring out all sorts of, you know. I know a family that he always brings out, no, God. They can't have husbands. No, they can't even marry. Don't you remember their ancestor that was a king? Made one of his slaves into a sex slave. They locked her up in a room and they were abusing her. And when she has babies, they would take the babies from her. So I have every right. In that family, particular family I'm talking about, the women are not getting married. If they marry, the marriage is break. And in that same family, another phenomenon, babies were dying, toddlers were dying. They would die mysteriously. Until we discovered that this was what was happening in that family. So you say, no, I have every right to kill that toddler. Because their forefathers in those days, they when that slave had babies, they would take the babies from her. I have every right to take their babies from them. So when you are fighting Leviathan, you have to have knowledge. You have to have knowledge. And you have to go into the ancestry. It's not something you can fight only on this surface, on this, in this generation. You have to fight in, yes.
My question is this. Does it mean those, the king doesn't know that the woman caused them? I mean, that generation.
When a curse comes, it came in that generation. It starts coming to pass in generations to come. The king has died longest time. This happened in 18 something something. Until today, we're still struggling with that problem. Until it was discovered that this was what happened. And we now had something to shut up the accuser. And said, hey, in Ezekiel 18, it is written, the fathers shall not eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth be set on edge. You cannot punish us for what somebody has done. And you see, you have to bring the word of God to him. This is like a court. The lawyer must always bring a legal reason why this thing. So you too, you bring Ezekiel 18. You know, this thing happened. That's why it's always good to trace where a curse comes from. Because it is from there, that you will now take, it is from that knowledge that you will now know what to present before the Lord. And say, yes, it's my ancestor that did it, I know, and I'm sorry. My ancestor did it in ignorance, but I cannot be punished for the sins of my ancestor. Amen.
Amen.
So what are the signs of Leviathan attack? Repeated abortions. Repeated abortions of physical pregnancies. Physical pregnancies of promises of God, especially at the edge of manifestation. Repeated abortion of businesses, marriages. Because if marriages are breaking, that is abortion now.
Yes.
Then repeated untimely death, especially of young people and children in the family or in the community. You see, it can take a whole community captive. Oh, yes, it can take a whole community captive. You'll be surprised at the strange things happening on in villages and towns along the coast. And take a whole community captive. And what it will do is this, just as it did for in the case of Job, that he wants you to know that he's the one that is doing it. Those people can be dying at the same time of the year. That family I'm telling you about, most of the people that died in that family untimely died in a particular month. In a particular month. You see? Or you find that they died of the same, most of them died of the same illness. You see? Or they died under the same kind of circumstances. Then you know that it is Satan in charge. You see? Yes. So when such a thing is happening, it must not just be taken with levity. We don't know what we did. We don't know what you did. Half of the time, it's not what you did, what your ancestors have done. Yes, Pastor.
I came across somebody like that. Two, three people that senior that person were dying the same month and even the same date.
To.
Before he now came to us.
Yes.
He now prayed for him.
So that will tell you that something is in charge. And it wants you to know it's boasting. That it's in charge. It's not just happening anyhow. You see? Now, another sign of Leviathan attack is when you are always being accused of what you did not do. It means that those people that are accusing that person, accusation, you walk in this place, they accuse you of what you didn't do, ended up in prison. Then walk in another place, they accuse you of what you didn't do, sack you. Then another place, aha, something is following that person. And is the slanderer, the accuser. It's the accuser that is accusing, making them to accuse. The other thing is, if you see in a family, they're always accusing themselves. And after all, you too. Instead of using grace, we're not saying that in a family, you didn't offend me or I didn't offend you. But you see, there must be love and there must be grace. But that accuser will not allow there to be grace, will not allow forgiveness. It will be accusing. We can gather now and say, okay, forgive each other now and let's forget this thing. Okay. When they now depart and go home, at night he will come and be telling you want to forgive that kind of thing. Can't forgive that kind of thing. Ah, look at what he did to you. Look at how painful it was. Look at all that, the problem that he caused you. Look at what. There we are. Now, another sign is if there is evidence of ancestral worship of water bodies, like rivers and lakes, there's evidence of ancestral worship of water bodies, like rivers and lakes, as is commonly found in riverine and coastal communities. You find that there will be some river. Hey, you must never fetch water there. No, you must never. When I was young, we're living in Ilaro. No, there's a particular clear, tiny stream, spring. We can't fetch water there. So we all just go. And nobody must make noise there. So we're still coming to that. So we don't go near that water. They've even put palm fronds. Even though we're looking for water to drink, water is clear and everything. Or they can say, oh, because you must not scatter the water. So how are you going to take water without scattering? So that is how you know that they are actually worshiping that water. You see. Then any religion that involves rituals at rivers, lakes, seashore, and such a thing, like the White Garment Church. You know that the God they are worshiping is just Leviathan. Just Leviathan. They may add Jezebel to it too. When you add Jezebel to Leviathan, you have mummy water. That's the mermaid. So they can ask, you know, but, you know, any religion that is just their watch. Then any form of reverence or deifying of creeping things like snakes, crocodiles, fishes, you can't kill it. You can't kill a snake. You can't fish. You can't kill fish in that water. You can't do that. No. Those people are worshiping as Leviathan, and they are in its grips. They're in captivity, serious captivity. Because it will be a taboo to kill a snake or crocodile. In fact, they are allowed to move freely among the people. And they can chop anyone they want. Nobody will bother them. Another sign. He's having dreams involving dreaming in water bodies. Meanwhile, in real life, you can't swim. Then you'll be swimming. You see yourself swimming. Then in dreams, you see, dreams is what usually shows a person what is responsible for his problems. They will see water bodies, whether lake or river or streams, you know. They'll be seeing it. Just, I'm always, when I pray, I'll just see that river. When I pray, I'll just see. It's not the river, it's what is inside the river. Seeing snakes, lizards, crocodiles, dragonflies. You see, because the dragonfly, you know the one that's a dragonfly, it has a slim body and it has two wide transparent wings on either side. It has a, you know, it's because it lays its eggs in the water. It will be flying and be laying eggs. So is it, and anyway, the name is this, even shows you that it's a dragon. Anything that creeps or crawls, dream, when one is dreaming of that on a regular basis, that means that person has problems with Leviathan. Now, even cats, dogs, leopards, lions, and other cat-like animals that walk, you know, they walk stealthily, they walk, you know, and tear their prey to pieces. They're all, if somebody keeps seeing that in the dream, it is Leviathan that is troubling that person. Or an animal that has horns. Like seeing a bull with horns, cows with horns, is Leviathan. Seeing swarms of insects that devour and destroy is in the same category. Like seeing soldier ants. You know, soldier ants can eat a whole baby.
Yeah.
They can eat a whole baby overnight.
Hmm?
Yes. They can eat a whole baby overnight. They can eat a small animal in a few hours. So soldier ants, locusts, because locusts come in droves, and they will devour anything that they see. They're all in that category.
Like what?
Locusts, soldier ants, and you know, soldier ants, when they are moving along, there are many. They be moving like snakes. The way they make their column, they don't go in a straight line. They'll be moving like snakes in columns. As well, soldier ants are very common in swampy areas where there's water, you know. Good. So vampire bats. There's some bats that suck blood. They're all in that family. Bats, they fly. There are some that suck blood. They walk on the earth. Bats. Now, another sign is false prophecy and divination. That is the spirit of the python speaking. False prophecy and divination. There's that woman in the book of Acts. There's in one of the translation version, say, Peter, I can't use my phone. It says there's a woman with the spirit of divination, a python. They put it there, plain, a python. It's a python spirit. The python is the one that's this kind of snake that is not poisonous, but wraps itself around the person and squeezes him to death. And that is how false prophets and diviners do. They grab the person by telling him lies and lies and lies, taking your money, taking your money. They have no solution to the problems. So they pretend to be friends, hugging you, you know. The python wrapping around. Then they begin to squeeze and squeeze you of your money. Some people will sell their house to go and give to a false prophet. Some people give their cars, their only car. So it squeezes and squeezes and squeezes life out of the person. So it's Python that is in charge of such false prophets and divination. Now, seeing a flood in the dream is very, very dangerous. All right? Seeing a flood, you just see flood of water coming, as if it's coming to carry people away. It is the dragon that is vomiting trouble. As he did to the woman in labor, as recorded in Revelations 12:15. Seeing a flood in the dream, very dangerous, is the dragon somewhere. You may not even know the dragon. You may not even see the snake. You may not see it. You may never have seen it. But seeing flood in the dream, you know, dirty, muddy, floody water coming, you know that this is dragon vomiting water, and is vomiting water of trouble. Vomiting water of trouble. As recorded in Revelations 12:15, it says that when he saw that the woman, he couldn't swallow the baby, and God took the woman away into a place, gave her two wings of eagles, took her into a place of rest. He now vomited flood to go and look for her, find out where she is, to carry her away. So that is drug. And usually, dragon waters, it means trouble following another trouble, following another trouble. The fridge is broken. NEPA cut your light. The car broke down. That's when you find many people sick in one family. Many people will be sick. As this one is recovering, this one falls sick, that one is falls sick. That is just the dragon just destroying, devouring your money and wanting to kill one after the other. It also, a dragon vomit is also slander and propaganda. Vomit of lies. Propaganda against that person. Slander. Don't you know, it's like this, it's like that, it's like this, it's like that. Telling lies against one person. Another thing is plane crashes upon plane crash. Especially when the plane crashing over water or into marshland. Both mishaps. Riots. Wars. Anything that causes massive loss of lives, you know, like that, at one go, is the dragon. It's the dragon. And we've said incurable disease of the blood and cardiovascular system. I've mentioned that. Okay, good. So, as I said, for one to fight Leviathan, you have to become a friend of God. There's nothing you can do because you cannot fight Leviathan. Maybe when we finish, when you get home, you read Job 41, you see that God is just telling him, you cannot fight Leviathan. You can't. And God was telling him what can fight Leviathan. But you are not able to use those weapons. Job, you are not able to use it. The only thing that can save us is to covenant, enter into a covenant with the God for that battle. So when one is fighting Leviathan, you have to continuously be taking the Passover. You have to continuously, because it will tire you, number one. It will make you tired. So you have to continuously, renew your covenant with God, strengthen your covenant with God, renewing the availability of the blood of Jesus, it increases the availability of the blood of Jesus on you. And then as you are taking the bread, it renews your strength inside to continue to rise up and fight. God has to be drawn into the battle because it is not something that one can fight alone. Now, look at the woman of Revelation 12, for instance. That is Israel. She's automatically has drawn God into the battle. Just being Israel, because Israel has a covenant, an everlasting covenant with God. The Abrahamic covenant, and all manner of covenants that they have with him. You see, they have covenant of divine. He said, I'll be an enemy to your enemies. So he must come into the situation. So he intervened without hesitation and delivered her. Let's look at some of the covenant promises. Genesis 12:3. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. Yes, of Israel. I just want to look at two. We just want to look at two.
Genesis
12:3. Deuteronomy 28:7. Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. There are many, many of those, you know, covenants. And I said, we seal it by taking the Passover meal. Now, another thing that the Passover meal does for us, all right, is to open our eyes. Let's look at Luke 24. It's a long passage. I'll read it. Now, the Bible says that Luke 24, I'm going to read you. I'm coming. Now, one thing that, apart from receiving strength from the Lord, it opens our eyes. All right? In case there's a veil. And I said the dragon will put his veil of his shed skin. You know. Now, look at what happens when people ate with the Lord. Because that's what the Passover meal is. We're asking that the Lord should come and dine with us. So Luke 24, 13 to 16, then 30 and 31. Let me say it again. Luke 24, verses 13 to 16. Then 30 and 20 and 31. Now look at what happened. The Lord has been slain. He has been crucified and buried. And so they were very unhappy. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they walked together of all these, and they talked together of all these things which has happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So their eyes were, you know, were blinded.
It is on the way to Emmaus.
They could not, they did not know it was him. Yeah. Besides, the last time they saw him, he has been beaten black and blue, was bleeding up and down. And so this person now that is with them is a normal, healthy person. So they could not recognize him. But verse 30 says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, break it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. You see? So when you are taking the Passover, the same thing happens. So I always make sure I break the bread. I use cream crackers. So I break it. As I break it, let my eyes be opened. Not only would one, one eyes will be open to see secrets of the enemy. You see, not just to recognize the Lord, but to also see secrets of the enemy. Now, in the same Luke 24, lower down from verse 42, he appeared in the midst of them, inside the room, where they were gathered and lamenting. So the Bible says, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish. No, when he now appeared and they said, oh, is the Lord is here? And Thomas said, no, unless I touch his hands and touch his side. So he said, okay, touch me, it is I. So after that, they now gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. 45. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So when we are taking the Passover out, eating communion, as we say, these are the things we must ask for. Lord, open my eyes to understand you better. Open my understanding to understand the scriptures. Open my eyes to see what is hidden. Amen. That's what it is, eating the body with discernment. With discernment. That you are not just eating bread and drinking Ribena. You are drinking something that will make you better at the end of that small ritual that we do, which we call taking the Passover. Amen. Now, all this war we've been talking about, all this tragedy of war we're talking about, is by revelation. Amen. You can only war this kind of warfare by revelation. Because it is when God shows you something. So you need your eyes to be open, and you need to understand the scriptures. God will open our eyes, show us dreams and visions. We have to be able to interpret, and we have to be able to trace it to the scriptures. Because it is from scriptures that we will now lift up the correct word to use to fight these battles. Amen. And the Lord will take us step by step. He said it's precepts upon precepts, step by step, you know. So that is why the enemy tries to put a veil over us, because he knows we can only fight him by revelation. We can only fight him by even knowing that he's there. You see, you have to know what is there and what is fighting you before you can know. It's like a doctor. You can't treat a patient without knowing what is wrong with him. You have to make a diagnosis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, remember that the Israelites, it is a war with Leviathan, as I said, is long and tiring. But the Passover meal helps us out. You see, it helps us to keep us strong. Now, remember that it is recorded that when the Israelites, the first Passover, Exodus 12, they took the Passover and came out of Israel, out of Egypt, the next day. And the Bible says, recorded later, that there was not one feeble one amongst them. That means none of them was sick. Not one feeble one among them. Psalm 105, 38. He said, not one feeble one among them. That means they were not just healed, instantly healed. All right? When they took the Passover, they were instantly healed and the weak became strong because they had a long journey ahead of them. And that is why we take the Passover when we're fighting Leviathan. So that, well, if it's long and tiring, well, me, I will get strength from where strength is. Now, they were also able to live in divine health for 40 years. You see, the Bible says that their feet did not swell, and yet they were not riding on horses. They were trekking. And if you see the terrain of Egypt and Israel, stones and sand, you know, stones and sand and everything. So sandy, rocky terrain, and yet they were able to do it without their feet swelling up. And none of them died of any sickness. You see? Even Deuteronomy 8:4 says that even their clothes did not get old. It received, it lived in health, and their feet did not swell. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Leviathan networking. Let's look at that. I've alluded to it, you know.
You mentioned the Bible passage.
Deuteronomy 8:4. He said their clothes did not wax old, neither did their foot swell for 40 years. How can that be? Let's face it, there's nowhere to buy clothes in the wilderness. So the clothes that they wore from Egypt, they wore it for 40 years. Wow. Leviathan networking. Now that is telling us a whole lot of things. You see, it doesn't mean in our own days now, it doesn't mean that our clothes will not wear old. It just means that God will keep on providing. Keep on providing. That's one of the benefits of taking the Passover. Because when they will eat of eating, dining with the Lord, let's put it that way. Now, after he rose from the dead and they saw him and said, and Peter said, oh, I go out fishing. I couldn't catch any fish until the Lord came, and then they caught so much fish. And they got to the shore. They found that he was already baking bread and frying and roasting fish on fire before they got there. So I heard this from Bishop Oyedepo. That it means that when you want to dine with the Lord, he's the one that will make the provision. You see? So if we take Passover with him regularly, he's not just going to provide crackers and quinina and ribena, and he won't provide into our kitchen, into our food store. So this is what this means. He continued to provide clothing for them, kept them, you know, and he, of course, he gave them food as well. Hallelujah. So Leviathan typically never acts alone. All of them never act alone. They gang up with each other, and they all use the last strong man, that is death and hell. They use him because the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He has not just come to make you unhappy, make you No. He wants that person to die. He wants that person to die. You see? Some people can think they can be depressed and die. Do you know that? They can be depressed and die. They can be depressed and kill themselves. So that's what he's looking for. So let's look at how Leviathan networks. We can see that they told us in Revelation 12 that the tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, cast them before the earth because he wants to attack one little woman who is in labor. That tells you that if you are a friend of God and you have a relationship with God, a covenant relationship with God, the devil will be afraid of you. Even the dragon will be afraid of you. Because he was afraid of Israel. That was Israel. He was afraid of Israel. Now, those kind of angels that he threw down, they are fallen angels. They fell, you know, they fell to the earth. Once they are cast down to the earth, they've fallen. Now, Leviathan teams up with Baal to become the dragon. I already said that.
Yes.
And when he teams up with Jezebel, he becomes a mermaid. Or a merman. Remember, there is no male or female in the realm of the spirit. When it teams up with Baal, it becomes the dragon. When it teams up with Jezebel, it becomes the mermaid or merman. And his favorite teammate is death and hell. Yes. If he starts a war, he comes with death and hell galloping along to make sure that he must kill and carry them to hell. All right. Now, he teams up. There are four strong men. We've agreed on that.
Yes.
Baal, Jezebel, Leviathan, and death and hell. So, Leviathan teams with the three of them to do different things that it needs to do. So, it teams with Baal and becomes a dragon. It teams with Jezebel, becomes a mermaid or merman. Because there are mermen who now, not, they're not only Mami Watau, there are Daddy Waters there too. Yes, you see them, the man, is the rest of him is fish. But its favorite teammate, the person he wants to team with more than anything else, is death and hell. Death and hell. That's a strong man. That's the fourth strong man. Because his ultimate purpose is to kill and destroy the victim and send them to hell as well. That's why it causes riots, accidents, so that people can die suddenly before they can repent. You see? Therefore, Leviathan battle must not be taken with levity, but fought with all the resources made available to us by God, as revealed in his word, and also in personal revelations as the battle progresses. We must ask God to reveal the mystery of the captivity to us. Let's look at questions to ask when you are when you're asking for the mystery of a captivity. Questions to ask. Where and how did it gain entrance into the family? It doesn't take one person captive. It's not interested in that. It's a waste of energy. Takes whole families, clans, villages, take them captive. So where and how did it gain entrance into the family to take them captive? I've told you a family traced this thing till it, by revelation of God, that your ancestor that was a king did such and such to a slave and cursed them, you see. And of course, perchance her God was Leviathan. So her God now took over the war. I know another family that, okay, they come from the Riverine area. So they have two, they have a merman and a mermaid in their family. They used to manifest to people in the dreams. So they all have spirit husband, spirit wife. By the way, spirit husband and spirit wife is always the serpent. Always the serpent. So then they say, who made contact with what with it, and for what reason? Anyone whose ancestors ever took part in the slave trade automatically is in the captive of Leviathan. Anyone, any family, that their family have taken part in slave trade will be in the captive of, will have Leviathan captivity in their family. Why? Because as they were carrying the slaves on the waters out off the coasts of West Africa, the slaves were cursing. They were cursing. And of course, all these things usually happen along the coast. That's where you have the slave ports, slave castles and things. And Leviathan will just take it up and say, well, I'm here. Yes, yes, I hear you. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I'll help you to revenge. You see, I revenge those who sent you here. Don't worry. As if he's righteous. So that is how, for instance, that's an example of how Leviathan can gain entrance into a family. Now, we say who made the first contact and for what reason? Because sometimes you need to be mentioning that my ancestor, the king. If you know the name, is good. If you don't know the name, you just say my forefathers. You don't have to go to details. But Satan is very, very legalistic. You have to dig as far as you can dig. Then what are the covenant terms? Then usually there's a covenant, of course. What are the covenant terms? Is it that, okay, the girls will not marry? Okay, my sons will not do well. God forbid. Okay, the sons will not do well. Okay, the girls will not marry, but they will do well. Okay, you know, like that. You don't have to hear the covenant passages, but you can see the pattern in the family. You see? Whatever you see in the family, those are the covenant terms. They will not marry. Babies will be dying. That means you'll be sacrificing children to me. Your girls will not marry you. If they marry, they'll come back home. The men, they can marry, but they won't do well. Their wives will be feeding them. And so on and so forth. Those are the covenant terms. And they must be reversed and broken accurately. The devil is very legalistic. Then what is the name being used by Leviathan in this particular case? What is the name being used? That is very, very important, because you use it to war against it. Yes, the name being used by Leviathan in this particular case, in each particular case. Remember, even God called him different names. Pharaoh in Ezekiel 29, Rahab in Isaiah 51, Little Horn in Daniel 7, you see. Even in Job 41, there's a name he called him, you see. You see, there's a name there. When one reads down, you see that God called him another name. All this must be used freely in prayer. And you see, don't think that God cannot reveal all these things. One just has to be sensitive. And one of the ways that people will know is that when you see the face of that person, whose face does it like to carry? You see, it may like to carry the face of somebody called Femi, for instance. You see that every time he appears, you carry the same on one Femi or another Femi or another, you know, then you'll know that the name is Femi. You'll know that the name is Femi. Because the Holy Spirit will help us. And then it likes to boast and try to make a mockery of us. You see, so you too will be shakara and carry faces, you know, and say, "One kuku ni mo, the kuku won't know." You know, everything is in the dream. Everything is in the dreams. Analyze, ask God to analyze the dreams for you accurately. One can also ask questions from elders in the family using godly wisdom, though. And in a lot of the cases involving Leviathan, prophetic action is necessary.
Oh, my book is finished.
Recording now. God will give us information. God will give us information either directly, or we can get questions from, we can ask questions from elders in the family. Use godly wisdom. There was a case, we say, we came from Lagos. They say our ancestors have a God here, and we haven't been coming to worship it. They say, hey, you see, we don't know what is wrong with you children. So we asked. No, we first, this was in Lagos. We first asked, you know, an elder in the family. So he said, okay. So we took pen and paper. Look very serious. Show us the, please tell us the name. Give us the name of the idol. Ro. We started that vigil. Cursing and raging at it. Then the Lord waited. 6 weeks later, he said, yeah, let's go. Went to Ijebu. We carried anointing, we carried salt, we carried all manner of. If it was in those days that I knew about sand from Prayer City, would have carried it. So when we got there, they said, these people have come, That's how they come from Lagos to come and carry our idols away. We won't let you carry, We said, but they said it wanted us to come and worship it. And we have come. See oil, we've come to worship it. We started pouring oil anywhere, everywhere. You see? And so one of us, I stood there praying with the releasing scriptures. They all just stood. They could not come near us. Then they went and called the women that worship the thing. The high priestesses, they sat. They all stood there looking at us. After a while, we preached to them. Some gave their lives to Christ. Then 3 weeks, 3 months later, one of us saw one of them come to Redeem Camp and give her life to Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, Leviathan spirit must not be fought alone. Because you are fighting a gang. You are fighting a gang up against you. So don't fight alone. And one of the ways that we don't fight alone is by using, if we don't have physically somebody who can be praying with us, we will use tapes, you know, teaching tapes, prayer tapes to use to pray. Because it means that you are praying along with the person, with the people in that tape. You need corporate anointing to fight Leviathan and some tested and tried prayer warriors to be praying along with you, especially if you have to do prophetic action. We must also ask God continuously for angelic assistance, asking specifically for Michael and the hosts. Please don't say that, how will God release Michael and the host? Michael has no other work to do. It doesn't concern us. You only need Michael for 1 second. The work is done. He goes somewhere else. And you are asking your father, he will do anything for you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next thing is Leviathan disguise. He likes to disguise. He likes to disguise, he can take the face of your mother. But don't be deceived. It depends on what he is doing. If it's a serpent and it's coming to kiss you, nobody must kiss you in the dream. You must fight back. It likes to pretend to be a friend. Like the python. The python wraps itself around a person. You can say it's hugging you, Oh, how nice. And then it tightens up, crushes the bones, then begins to swallow the person. The kiss of Leviathan is the same as the one Judas gave the Lord Jesus. It's the kiss of death. Kiss of death. If anybody comes to kiss you in the dream, kiss your face, you must fight back. You must anoint your face and fight it. Because the kiss of death is a spell, cast a spell over the person. Just like he deceived Eve by pretending to be a friend. So, oh, did God really say that you should not eat of the or the fruit of the in the garden? And the woman said, yes, we may eat all the trees, but we must not eat this one, so that we do not die. I said, oh, you shall surely not die. For where? God knows that the day you eat it, your eyes will open. You'll be like himself. He just wants to cheat you. He wants to cheat you. So he's talking like a friend. He came like a friend in that case. He didn't come like an enemy. Blaspheming God. That's another thing that Satan does. He blasphemes God to us in times of trials. Must never forget that. His solicitous friends, Job's friends that came to they say his friends came to mourn with him, and they were blaspheming God and blaspheming he himself. That's the spirit that is behind it all. Remember, we have said is Leviathan behind the spirit that behind everything that happens to Job. So if anybody comes to you with a face that like a loved one and is doing contrary things, you pray and ask the mask to fall. Even when you wake up, you see it in the vision. The mask will fall, and you see that it is not that person. It's a wicked person. It's a wicked animal. I mean, beast. Even if you don't know the person. Look at Delilah. She came as a friend. Oh, put your head on my lap. I was asking him, oh, you know. Pray, tell me, pray. It means you don't love me. Don't love me. If you love me, you tell me. And the Bible says in Judges 16:18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, he sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought money in their hand. And of course they came, tied him up and took him away. So beware of friends that want to, that are always probing, they're always probing information from your mouth. Hey, what about you and your wife? Hey, how far now? Hey, I've got a house. Oh, has it? They're probing from your, especially if they themselves always hide their own secrets. They don't tell you anything. They are Delilah, the serpent. That is why God does not always want us to tell everyone our plans, so that the enemy will not interfere with our breakthroughs. A perfect example is that of the widow and the oil. Elisha told her, keep the miracle secret when it is unfolding. 2 Kings 4, 3 and 4. Said, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. He said, shut the door. Borrow vessels from your neighbors. You don't need to tell them, I'm just borrowing so that I can pour some oil. No, just borrow. Ah, we want to add. We have a celebration in the, can you please lend me your, borrow it, shut the door, and start pouring the oil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think we can stop here today. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's ask God. God, we have heard your words. Teach us how to put it into practice. Teach us how to profit by it. Teach us how to teach others and to help others to come out of the captivity of Leviathan. Father, we thank you, we bless you for teaching us. for all you have taught us today. Blessed be your name, Lord. Lord, we ask of God, teach us how to teach others. Teach us how to put it to use. Teach us how to put it to use, Lord. When the time comes, teach us how to put it to use. Give us the ability, give us the strength, the wisdom, give us the knowledge, Lord. And give us the opportunity to use it to help others, so that they can be snatched from the jaws of Leviathan and brought into your kingdom. For whosoever the Son of God has set free is free indeed. Blessed be your name, our Father. Give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.